Kings fans, it's time for game night.
And he scores! Wins it in overtime!
With a comprehensive look at the upcoming game, including a look at the Kings and their opponents.
Coming in off the right wing, took it to the net.
Interviews, analysis with notes, news, and scores from around the NHL. And your calls. Let us know what's on your mind. Call us now at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. It's game night, and it starts now.
Kings fans, welcome back. I am Jesse Cohen, coming to you live from the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center here in downtown L.A. It's game number 9 of the 2022-23 season as the Winnipeg Jets take on your L.A. Kings here at Crypto.com Arena. Kings posted a 1-1-1 record versus Winnipeg last season, with all games decided by a single goal, including a 3-2 Jets victory in the lone meeting here in Los Angeles. Forward Adrian Kempe led the way with 3 points, while Philip Deneau had a pair of assists. On Tuesday, Kings picked up their first home win of the season in a 4-2 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll see if the Kings can pick up their second home win of the season in just over an hour. But for now, as always, we are taking your questions and comments here at LA Kings Game Nights. Call in 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. And as always, tonight we are going to have quotes from Todd McClellan. We'll also hear from Brant Clark. We'll hear from Sean Dursey, Phil Deneau. And tonight, well, it's not technically Grateful Dead night, but it is a Grateful Dead ticket pack evening. So I don't know if we may hear some Grateful Dead songs. We may not. But for anybody out there, if you like the Grateful Dead, tonight's the night you'd want to be in the building, I suppose. We're just going to jump into the quotes real quick. In that game we previously mentioned on Tuesday against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Brant Clark had just an unbelievable pass to set up Blake Lizotte for a goal. And the question that I always have when I see a play like that is, did the person passing the puck have any idea how the play would go? And in this case, Brant Clark aggressively called for the puck from Arthur Kaliev along the wall. And I had a chance to talk to Brant Clark after the game. I asked him if he had any idea what he would do with the puck if Arthur Kaliev managed to get it to him.
Nope, didn't know what I was going to do with it. I knew I had a lot of time and space and already made a great play. So, no, I didn't know Lizzo was going to be so wide open. So, it was a great read by Artie to find me. So, and I was happy to finish it off.
That was Brant Clark, and the young man is truly a lot of fun to talk to. And it's funny, you know, you'll go into the locker room after a morning skate or a practice or after a game, and one out of every three times we're in there, he's surrounded by all of us. We're all having our microphones jammed in his face, and he's the story of the moment. And then the rest of the time, he's just sort of sitting there, and I always look over at him, and I think, oh, man, this is an opportunity to hear from Brant Clark, 8th overall pick, but... the reality is you can't talk to the same guy all the time. They get tired of it. You run out of things to say. Anyway, kept talking to Brant Clark because we noticed up in the press box that he seemed to look particularly good playing alongside Blake Lizotte and Brendan Lemieux. And I asked him why it might be that he had so much impact playing with that fourth line.
I think that just starts with they're so good at breaking pucks out. They're so strong along the walls, and even if the D steps down, they're still getting around them. And I think that gives me the availability to hop in there. And since the D's pinching, but we got it around them, I'm an option there. And there were some of the best players in the league. I think the best players in the league getting pucks out along the walls. So I think just gives me even more holes to hop in.
Again, Brant Clark breaking down his play with the fourth line, talking about how good they are playing against the wall, giving him opportunities to jump in. Also asked Brant Clark how much of an impact the crowd had. The crowd here on Tuesday was phenomenal. For a Tuesday night game against an Eastern Conference team with a fan base that frankly isn't that large and doesn't travel that well, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, the crowd was surprisingly large and loud on a Tuesday night. Brant Clark could hear it and appreciated it.
Yeah, it was loud. It was awesome. It was... I love to hear the passion when we're late in the games when they were pressing a lot. The crowd was loud for us to hold down the lead, and we did. So, yeah, it was a great atmosphere tonight.
Now, Brant Clark has played 7 NHL games so far, and a lot of people, this tonight will be his 8th, presumably. And everybody's aware of the 9-game limit. It's actually a 10-game limit, but he can play 9 before reaching that limit. And I hear people talking about it, saying, you know, they have so many games left before the team has to make a decision on whether to keep him and whether to send him down. And that's actually not entirely accurate. The decision is not about his availability to the team. The decision is merely whether or not his contract will officially kick in for the first year of his 3-year entry-level contract. They can keep him past that 10 games and then later in the year decide to option him back to his junior team. They can also choose not to play him, but simply keep him on the roster as long as they want. It doesn't have anything to do with his availability to the team. Once he plays his 10th NHL game, it just means that the first year of his entry-level contract counts as having been activated. It brings him one more year closer to waiver eligibility, closer to arbitration eligibility, 1 year closer to unrestricted free agency. So it's a financial decision, less than an actual lineup decision. But it nonetheless is a decision that the Kings will make. Many teams choose to make it based on those circumstances, the financial, the legal, etc. But it doesn't necessarily mean once he eclipses that 10-game mark, doesn't mean he's necessarily here for the full season, although, frankly, I would expect him to be just based on his play. The young man has clearly earned a spot in the lineup. We'll hear from Todd McClellan later in the show about why they keep playing him and what his thoughts on the young defenseman's status are. But I just wanted to clarify, because I do hear people saying, well, they've only got 2 games left to make a decision on whether to send him down or not. Again, not actually true. They just have to decide whether or not he's playing well enough to make it worth it to eat that first year of his contract. Now, he's not the only defenseman who played well on Tuesday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sean Durzi also, I thought, had a good game. Had a chance to talk to him about his comfort level recovering from that injury, learning to play the left side. And Sean Durzi, as always, excellent to talk to.
Feeling a lot better over the last little bit. I mean, learning the left side and kind of adapting to it is a little different, to be honest, than playing the right. I mean, here and there you get on the left side, but getting more reps in games, in practice, seeing the ice at a different angle, it's over the last little bit, I thought, transition-wise and making reads defensively and kind of things like that, have been a lot better.
Sean Durzi also really just in his second year, he called up last season to replace Drew Doughty and Sean Walker when they were out of the lineup with injuries. So there's all this talk about a player like, Brant Clark going through the league for his first time, first road trip. But there are a number of players on this team that are also quite young, even though it is no longer their rookie season. Sean Durzi, one of them. And I asked him how it feels now, having been through the cycle once, having a little bit more experience under his belt when it comes to stuff like road trips in the NHL.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, guys kind of know you out there a little bit. Some things that I got away with last year offensively, some guys honestly maybe it's pre-scouted now and they kind of take it away. So it's, that's part of the game. That's something you adapt to, but comfortable with my teammates, comfortable making plays, built, trust with the staff and you want to keep it. So it's nice to be under my second season, be a little bit more comfortable and have a little more confidence in different areas.
Todd McClellan this week spoke to us about the second line of Victor Arvidsson, Phil Deneau, and Trevor Moore as sharing a brain. It felt a little bit like half the team was sharing that brain on Tuesday night. I asked Sean Durzi if that team cohesion might have been a result of being able to get a practice in Monday. They didn't really get a chance to practice during that extended road trip, and he felt it might have had an impact.
Yeah, I mean, we had a really good day of practice, finally our first one after 8 days on the road, kind of cleaning things out, working, battling, working on different areas of our game to get better. I mean, the whole season is pretty much fine-tuning a game, and you prepare for the season, and then each game you try to be a little bit better every single game, whether it's transition, whether it's D-zone, whether it's whatever the staff sees, they let us know, we adapt to it, and we grow. And that's basically what the entire season is about, getting better and growing as a team and finding your groove.
Hopefully the Kings will continue to get better and find their groove here tonight, against the Winnipeg Jets. On Tuesday, there was an interesting situation. A goal was scored, but those of us in the press box, I don't know anybody listening at home or watching at home The first goal that Phil Deneau scored, we didn't know in the building it was a goal until the puck was dropped. The announcement didn't come until long after the puck was dropped. There didn't appear to be any clarity. And I asked Todd McClellan after the game if the officials ever conveyed to the Kings behind the bench that a goal, in fact, had been scored.
Well, when they took the face off the center ice, we felt pretty good. Like, yeah, but we were not, you know, we were asking, was that a goal on the ice or not? But clearly, once everything got settled, they went to center ice and there was no worry.
There you have it. It was a goal. Jim Fox obviously had it on the telecast. No questions there. We talked about Brant Clark earlier and the Kings' decision, and Todd McClellan was asked for his evaluation of Brant Clark's play to this point in the season.
I think the fact that we keep using him and putting him out in all different situations, special teams, 4-on-4, down by a goal, up by a goal, he seems to find his way out in the ice. So obviously we believe in him, or we wouldn't be doing that. The organization, you're asking me as a coach, but the organization has to sit down and make decisions based on what's right for him, for us, for the future, for now. All that Brant has to do is worry about practice tomorrow. And he's done a really good job of that. He's got great guidance from the older players in the locker room. And that's all he has to worry about. And if he keeps worrying about just the next day, pretty soon it's going to be June next year, and he'll be flying home. If he gets too far ahead of himself, then it's tough.
Was Todd McClellan very clearly stating the coaching staff's support of the young player at any rate. As he said, they keep putting him out there every situation, shorthanded power play, even strength, late in games. Brant Clark, not the only young player on the roster that the Kings are looking to step up and grab a larger role this season.
Well, for us to move forward as an organization, today, tomorrow, 2 years from now, it has to come from underneath. We'd love to have Dustin Brown back and Kopi forever and Drew Doughty and Quickie. But that's Mother Nature. You know, she wins all the time. You're going to beat all of us. And it has to come from the youth underneath. And one of the hardest things I think those young players have to do is come and play in this environment after being superstars on their team where they're only relied upon to score. There's really good coaches and organizations out there, but a lot of times they're allowed to cheat. And sometimes they don't have a secondary game because they've never had to work on it. Some of our young players are now understanding that and getting it.
And it is that secondary game that we hear so much from the coaching staff. You know, if your A game is not going, is your B game good enough to pick up a win? Is your C game good enough to pick up a win? God forbid, is your D game or your E game? You get the idea. If the things that you do well are not clicking, or if for whatever reason you are outmatched in that territory, can you still pull it together? And last season we saw this team win a lot of games giving their B game or their C game even, and sometimes goaltending can help you out. Other times, you know, the other team can have players out of the lineup, whatever it is that helps you scratch out a win when you are not playing your best. But as the coach there said, they have a ton of young players that are beginning to grasp the situation. Todd McClellan was also asked following the game on Tuesday against the Tampa Bay Lightning, what was the most impressive element of his team's play?
Our penalty kill was very good against an outstanding. Now, there's a whole bunch of good things tonight, but if there's one thing, I thought our penalty kill gave us a strong belief, 5-on-3, a few other situations, drew a penalty on our penalty kill. So great goaltending. But that was a real important thing. And then fewer home run chances for the opposition. We're not perfect, but they were fewer. And I thought we committed to checking more than we had in the past.
They weren't perfect, but it was almost a perfect game. Two goals against, but one of them was a bit of a fluke. And the other one could be chalked up to score effects. Tampa Bay, obviously, too good to go down without a fight. The Kings dominated the second half of play and led in every statistical category: shots, shot attempts, power play, penalty kill, even hits, which we talked to Todd McClellan a little bit over the last day or so. A tremendous effort, and one that even Todd McClellan admitted was about as close to the ideal identity of this team as they've had all season. That was all about Tuesday night. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about tonight's game against the Winnipeg Jets, some lineup changes. We'll hear from some other players. This is LA Kings Game Night. I am Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back here in downtown LA.
LA Kings. Play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gold!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West, your home for LA Kings hockey.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Hey Kings fans, own your terrain and get moving with Cooper. Now through November 14th, you'll get up to a $70 reward when you buy a set of four qualifying tires. Choose from all-season and high-performance favorites, including the Discoverer AT3 family of tires and more. You can even register your rebate online. It's quick and easy. Visit CooperTire.com for forms, terms, and conditions, and to find a Cooper Tires retailer near you. Go with the Coopers.
Going to the movies this weekend? Totally Unlimited movies have arrived at Regal with Regal Unlimited, the perfect pass for movie lovers like you. See all the movies you want, as many times as you want, while enjoying 10% off concessions. Plus, enjoy unlimited moments.
I love you.
Unlimited action, unlimited adventure, and unlimited laughs at any Regal theater nationwide. Use the Regal app to become an unlimited subscriber today. Regal is a proud sponsor of the Los Angeles Kings.
From Star Wars to Kids Day to LA Dodgers Night, the 22-23 season theme night and promotion schedule has something for everyone. Visit lakings.com/promotions to see all the fun the Kings have in store this season. That's lakings.com/promotions, and go Kings!
This is LA Kings game night. Make your voice heard. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA, where the Winnipeg Jets are here to take on your LA Kings at Crypto.com Arena. As always, we are playing quotes or clips from Todd McLellan after morning availabilities, practices from players, etc. All of this will be available tomorrow on the LA Kings Insider podcast feed in case you can't hear the whole show. We'll also be playing Kings Talk with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans, so you can hear all of those by subscribing to the LA Kings Insider podcast feed, as well as All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings, and The Rain Check, the official podcast of the Ontario Reign. The Ontario Reign off to a tremendous start again this season. So, let's go back to Todd McLellan, because as I said on Tuesday, he is incredibly generous with his quotes from time to time, and this week has been no exception. Some really great questions and some really great answers. Obviously, the team is playing well over the last couple games. The results are not always there, but one of the issues has been the play of the top line. They are scoring points, but they are allowing some goals as well. And Todd McLellan talked about the identity of those three players and how they are meshing together on the top line.
When you bring a new offensive player in, I'm talking about Kevin now, and you pop him onto that line, everybody's thought goes to offensive driving plays. And Kevin's very good at that. But the DNA of Kopi and Juice, Kempe, in their DNA, it's been from our end out. I'm not saying Kevin's DNA is different. They're just trying to mesh all of that. I think Kevin will get to that point with Kopi and Kempe eventually, where they realize it starts here and it goes that direction. And at the end of the night, they may get outscored some nights, but they shouldn't get outchanced. Even is fine, you know, within one or two either way. But if it's a 9-3 night, chances for, chances against for that line, we're really happy. But if it goes the other way, then we're not, because they're playing against the other team's top group.
Todd McClellan was asked that question yesterday. He was asked about the line again today and even referenced his answer at a previous availability.
Kopi, and I think I said this yesterday, maybe in the media, I'm not exactly sure if I did, but it's always started from our end out for Kopi and his line mates or whatever. Take care of this and then go the other way. Kevin is trying to figure out which end is the premier end, and Kopi believes here. Kevin's trying to figure this part out. Once they all get unified and understand how we play and how we're going to play, it's important, and probably both of them have to meet in the middle a little bit. Juice is there as well. But that's the dynamic of having a first or a second line with changes. Paying attention to teams in our division, Calgary, with Lindholm. Mm-hmm. Scored 40 goals last year. He's got new line mates. They're trying to figure out how they have to play so all of them can have success. When you're used to something and it goes away, it takes time.
One of the reasons I enjoy the opportunity to talk to Todd McClellan and to the players and then bring you those clips is because context is so important. And, you know, I've talked about this on Tuesday, and I apologize again if I'm getting up on my soapbox, but media literacy, I think, is something that's very important because you get a lot of people who want to tell you a story, and it's not always necessarily what happened or what was said. So we had an opportunity to talk to Todd McClellan, and I wanted to ask a question, and I wanted to ask it in a very specific way so as not to draw any direct comparisons or parallels, but to get the sort of answer that I was hoping to get. And what I asked Todd McClellan was, if you have to make a lineup change based on availability, is there any threshold of success that new combination of players can have where you will reconsider reuniting the previous combination of players when they are available? And I wasn't going to name specific players. I wasn't going to talk about specific situations. But Todd McClellan, I think, knew exactly what I was getting at, and I think you'll hear it in his answer.
It depends on the timing of injury. So if we take Arvi, for example. Arvi's been in and out, coming back from an injury. The last time he played, that line was really good. I don't think he should lose his job completely because he's sick and couldn't play one night. Now, if it goes for 3 months and that line is clicking, I get it. But I think every situation is different. Every individual is different. Gabe did an outstanding job going up there. And I think Gabe could be moved around our lineup for most nights right now. He's enough confidence that he can be effective just about everywhere. But he did a real good job. So we'll see when Arvi returns how long that is and how healthy he is and make decisions from there. But probably by that time, knock on wood, we're doing something else somewhere.
Now, the reason that is particularly interesting tonight is that this morning at the morning skate, Victor Arvidsson was back on the ice. He was back on the ice wearing a white jersey. Now, it was an optional skate, and I don't know for a fact that the color of the jersey necessarily means what it means during a regular practice for an optional skate, but had there been a full complement of players on the ice and Victor Arvidsson were wearing a white jersey, that would indicate that he was going to be playing in a quote-unquote bottom six role, skating alongside presumably Quentin Byfield and Arthur Kaliev. Ordinarily, he would appear in a gray jersey when he was skating alongside Phil Deneau and Trevor Moore. Now, Gabriel Vilardi did have an incredible game. All three of them did, Deneau, Moore, and Vilardi, on Tuesday. And so very curious to see what the lineup will look like tonight. Todd McClellan was asked whether or not Victor Arvidsson was an option for tonight early in the availability this morning after morning skate, and he said yes, he is an option. Then later in the skate, Todd McClellan was asked a question about Jared Anderson Dolan. Was asked, okay, well, if Victor Arvidsson is not available to go tonight and Jared Anderson Dolan has to go in, what did Todd McClellan think about the performance that Anderson Dolan gave? And rather than answer that question, this was the answer that Todd McClellan gave the media.
You know what? Arvi's going to be able to go tonight. So, you know, it doesn't mean I thought Arvi was going to be able to go the other night up until after warm-up. So, it's a good question, but it's probably yeah, Harvey should be good to go.
So there you have it. Victor Arvidsson, according to head coach Todd McClellan, will most likely be in the lineup tonight. And as I said a moment ago, this morning took the ice in a white jersey, which indicates that he will be skating on one of the bottom two lines, if you want to call them that. We will have to wait till warm-ups, till we see the line rushes, but certainly later in this show, I'll be talking to Zach Dooley during Dooley Noted, and he and I talked about the possible line combinations and what might mean, and frankly, I was very excited about the possibility of Victor Arvidsson joining Arthur Kaliev and Quentin Byfield. I think it might be quite successful. Now, Todd McClellan was also asked about number 24, Deneau, and how important anticipation is to his success on the ice. Nope, apologies. I unplugged a cable there, and I have to reset something on my laptop. Give me 2 seconds while I sort this out. In the meantime, again, Gabriel Vilardi playing with Deneau and Trevor Moore. Unbelievable performance in the previous game. Dominated possession stats, shot opportunities, etc. by a wide margin. And again, Todd McClellan had this to say about the impact of anticipation on Deneau's game.
It's very important to everybody's game. And, you know, having some predictability and some direction where you can predict where the puck might go certainly helps that. Yet Phil's instincts are outstanding, and he values his play without the puck, which is really important.
We have guys, you say, offensive instinct. Does he have a defensive instinct?
I think they go hand in hand, because you have to think like the offensive players. Where might this puck go next? And if you're not as instinctive, everybody has a different level. Sometimes you read the wrong play. But everybody's giving off information. The other team's giving off information as things are happening, and he's able to process it quickly and go to the right spots.
You're evaluating a team performance.
That was Tom McClellan talking about anticipation, and you could hear Jim Fox's voice there asking Todd McClellan if Phil Deneau had defensive instincts, if he also had offensive instincts. Another line and another player that Todd McClellan is often praising is Blake Lizotte in that fourth line, and he talked about the impact that Blake Lizotte has had on this team this season.
First of all, his face-offs have been outstanding, and it's an area that we have to continue to get better in. But Blake sells out every game. Every ounce of what he has goes into the 60-minute effort. And that's pretty good quality to have in a penalty killer. He blocked Hedman's shot early in the game, does whatever he has to, end up scoring a big goal. Like, he is, he's our energizer bunny, if you will, and he's got a little bit of the conscience of the team buried in him somewhere. And, when he's going and he's keeping other players honest, particularly his line mates, they're pretty effective.
That was Todd McClellan, and now we've got a bit of a long clip. I thought it was sort of funny. Todd McClellan talking about the impact of travel on a West Coast team.
It does exist. When you come back and you've spent 7, 8, 9 days on the road, whatever we were, you come back to your own world and you readjust, and time zones and all that type of stuff. 6.5-hour flight from Washington. Some guys can't sleep on the plane, so they're sleeping in on a Sunday and off day. Everything has to get back into a rhythm, and it does happen. And I think you see it happen in every sport and every the fact that we had a long flight plays into it a little bit, but teams are flying all over the place. And we've, guess what, LA's always been where LA is, and we have a lot of players that played here for a long time, so they should know what's coming. Jimmy Hiller, Detroit, Toronto, New York. And I think he used the words, he says, it feels like we've played 40 games already. And I said, oh no, is that like a bad thing? Like, there's stress? And he goes, no, just, it is what it is. We played 8 and 7. We played 15 games since the season started. 4 at Crypto. So we've been on the road for 11 games. We've had 2-hour bus rides to Where did we go? Ontario. We've flown to Utah. Not everybody goes, but Jimmy Hiller went to everyone. Mm-hmm. And when you're from out east, particularly in that New York area, he said, oh, there's a lot of times when we're playing in Philadelphia, I'm home at 11:30 at night, I'm watching the highlights. You know, with LA traffic, you can play a home game and not be home by that time. So it's different.
All right, that was Todd McClellan talking about travel. You can hear the music in the background. That means it's time for warm-ups. That means it's time we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Zach Zuli. I am Jesse Cohen. This is LA Kings Game Night. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
If you want the best care for kids in California, come to Children's Hospital Los Angeles. CHLA is the highest-ranked children's hospital in California and a top hospital in the nation on the prestigious U.S. News & World Report Honor Roll of the Best Children's Hospitals. CHLA provides outstanding patient-centered care, trains the physicians, nurses, and caregivers of tomorrow, and conducts life-saving research to help bring more cures to more kids. For the best care for kids in California, visit chla.org.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start,
starts to change everything.
To begin a sentence,
begin with you.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Back to more of LA Kings Game Night. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown L.A. The Winnipeg Jets and L.A. Kings are on the ice here at Crypto.com Arena for warm-ups, and that means it's time for Duly Noted.
Call Duly!
Duly!
Let's call Duly!
Duly loves a good party!
Duly! Duly in the house! Duly's in the house!
Yeah, Duly Noted.
Time for warm-ups. That means it's time for Duly Noted. Joining me now, Zach Duly. How are you doing today, Zach?
Jesse, I'm doing well. You must just have that intro memorized, like you say it in your sleep. It's time for warm-ups, which means it's time for Duly Noted. You open it the same way every time, which is great. Love the consistency.
What makes me most amused by that is you just watched me flub it before.
That's
before
true.
I said it correctly.
Funny. But you flubbed like it's.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah.
So it was just doomed to fail.
Yep. Listen, they're coming. I'm going to steal the line. Peek behind the curtain.
From
this is our third attempt at starting, so I'm going to steal the line that you gave me in the last time, which is coming off of that win. We're just now, you and I, coming out of media availability with Todd McClellan, and I've talked about it before, but there are always questions that I wish I could ask, but that just don't feel... It's not even a question of appropriateness. It's just a question of I kind of know what the answer is going to be, and it's not going to be a great answer. The question I would love to ask is, how important is it to build off the momentum of that last win?
And I think that the answer would have been the momentum changes game to game. It doesn't really carry over. But I think the all signs, including Todd, including the players, seem to agree that that was probably the most complete game of the year, the game against Tampa Bay. So whether it's momentum or whether it's just continuing the trends and the styles and the way that the team played on Tuesday, like it's extremely important to play that way again against a Winnipeg team that has a lot of talent, a team that is still a pretty good hockey team. So I think it definitely is important to play the way that they did against the Lightning and hope that if you continue to play the right way, within the way that the Kings want their system to work, that they should continue to get results.
Todd mentioned that it's been a weird season, which is funny since it's been eight games. But this win is particularly weird to me in that the Washington game, which was the game before the Tampa game, started well, fell apart at the end. And the Pittsburgh game started well, and I would argue was played well throughout the bulk of the game. It was just one of those games where the breaks don't go your way. So you're looking at maybe seven of the last nine periods, maybe even eight of the last nine periods, where the Kings have played closer to their identity, and yet they have 2 points to show for it.
Yeah, it is kind of strange, because I thought the first period in Pittsburgh, the scoreboard said 3-0, but you walk away like, did the Kings play like maybe their best period of the year?
Yeah.
But they're still down by three, which is kind of how they felt of like, we don't feel like we deserve to be down three, and I think it kind of deflated the group a little bit. The Washington game, very low event for 40 minutes, which is not a bad game to play on the road. You're up 2-0. You capitalize on a couple chances. Don't really give up against a good group of forwards. And then the third period obviously kind of imploded. Few bad bounces, few bad breakdowns. And you lose a game that you led by two goals in the third period. And then it all kind of came together against Tampa Bay. There, not to say there weren't moments where the Lightning could have capitalized, some great defensive plays in odd man sequences that denied, you know, a very good team in Tampa Bay, some good looks, allowed the Kings to get two. And then I thought they played their best period of the season for sure. In the third period, they locked things down. I think they gave up three shot attempts, 5-on-5 in the third period. They played very well in the third period against Tampa Bay. They didn't sit back. They pressed. And I think they shut down the game the way you want them to shut down the game.
There's that old trope of sometimes the way you play precedes the results, right? So you could be on a winning streak, you start to play poorly, but you're still picking up wins almost on momentum. And that's how you know, maybe a hiccup is coming, and vice versa. You could be losing a bunch of games, but you're playing incredibly well, and that's when you know a streak is coming. I don't know that I would suggest that they played so well in Pittsburgh and most of Washington that that, you know, would precede a streak. But I do feel like this team, and I think everything we've heard agrees with me, that this team is getting closer and closer to the identity that Todd talked about wanting the team to have earlier this week.
Completely accurate, in my opinion. I think even before Pittsburgh, you started to see very small trends emerge in the wins over Detroit and the win over Nashville. It was small things. It was things, you know, like the bump-up shift after the goal. Kings very good at scoring and turning around a goal against last year. They did it twice in Minnesota, even in a wild 7-6 game. That was a trend. Then you started to see the second line emerge. Then it was the fourth line that started to emerge, playing the way that they played last year, even if the team wasn't quite playing that well. Then it was the comeback mentality in Nashville. And then in Pittsburgh and Washington and now in Tampa Bay, all of that stuff started to come together more and more at the same time, as opposed to one thing here, one thing there. And I think it would just culminated the most together, which is a terrible phrase, in the Tampa Bay game. Yep. We just saw the most...
Cohesion?
Cohesion is a good word, which is not how I'm speaking cohesively. But we just saw that all of those things kind of come together at the same time against Tampa Bay. And that was certainly the closest to an identity game I think they've played this year.
So the elephant in the room, I suppose, as far as cohesion and identity right now, today, and this is not to extend it beyond or behind today, is the availability of Victor Arvidsson for tonight's game. Todd McLellan just told us in the media availability that Victor Arvidsson will play tonight. Mm-hmm. However, he was wearing a white jersey today during the optional morning skate. That, because it's optional, I'm not confidently saying that we know what it means that he was wearing a white jersey, but were it a full team practice this season, that would indicate that he would be playing on the bottom six.
Right. I think, first of all, as he kind of clarified, like, he thought Arvidsson was going to play on Tuesday as well, wasn't ready to go after warmups. But I spoke with Arvidsson a little bit in the locker room, and he just feels like he's ready to get beyond all this stuff. It's really the third setback that he's had coming off of back surgery, two illnesses now in the regular season, one before the Seattle game, one before the Tampa Bay game. Thought they were different, but seems like he's had so many little things working against him. And it stinks because he was so good in the game against Washington, 3 points, started to really feel like he was breaking out. Then he gets another setback, you know, like the day after. So it's tough there. The jersey colors would indicate we'd see Gabe Vilardi stick with Deneau and Moore on the second line, which would likely put Arvidsson alongside Quinton Byfield and likely Arthur Kaliev on a third line that has not played together yet, but as we were talking about in the walk-in, three pieces that could potentially link well together. So it'd be good to see Arvidsson back. And it's such a good problem to have that Gabe Vilardi has been so good that he's pushing for top 6 minutes. And it's not displacing a guy who has not merited top 6 minutes. Like, it's not like, oh, Arvidsson's coming off a terrible game. He's coming off a 3-point night. And you've got two guys now on the right who are meriting a top 6 role. And that's how you create depth, and that's how you move forward.
There's been a number of conversations that have stretched over the course of two practices and two morning skates this week. And the conversations all rotate around the idea, basically, of line flexibility. Who are you willing to move where? How long is it going to take you to make those moves, et cetera? And I feel like the only reason it's a concern is that historically we have this idea that teams are constructed of two top six lines and two bottom six lines. And certainly if you look at the minute allocation on this team, that's sort of how this team is constructed. But I think theoretically, and Todd referenced it all through the preseason about Quentin Byfield getting more minutes and, you know, Artie Kaliev getting more minutes, et cetera. This is a team that talent-wise feels to me like it should be a top nine, and then that Lizotte, Lemieux, and Grunstrom line, which has a very clear role, a very clear identity, and Todd talked about it again today, fulfills that role wonderfully. So with Vilardi and potentially Arvidsson and any of the other players in that top nine, Fiala, Kempe, Kopitar, Deneau, Moore, Arvidsson, Vilardi, Byfield, Kaliev, I feel like the perfect model of this team is one where those three lines, players can move interchangeably, and it's not a reflection on any player, and they all contribute, you know, to the however they can and well.
It's what was missing last year, right? Like, they were a first line, a second line, and a fourth line with kind of an influx rotational group of players in the third line. They never found any traction with that unit, never found three guys that worked without disrupting one of the other lines. And it was one of the things that held the team back. We have no idea if Kaliev, Byfield, Arvidsson will work together.
We don't even know if they'll play together.
We don't know if they'll play together. But if they do, it's a very exciting collection of two guys in Byfield and Kaliev who you want to see push for more minutes, and a bona fide top six winger in Victor Arvidsson, who has a shooting mentality. He plays so aggressively and tenaciously, a great skater, and brings a lot of things that I think could complement a Quentin Byfield very well. And I think that that's the ultimate sign of growth for the Kings. Like, we talked about the Fiala addition, fills a spot in the top line, but the other part is internal growth. And Gabe Vilardi has shown a lot of internal growth. I think we've seen some from Byfield and Kaliev as well, just not quite at that level that Vilardi has brought. So if those guys can all establish themselves as top nine players, that's how this team is going to move forward. Because like you said, they go from, say, a top two and a fourth to a top three and a fourth. And that's so, so important, especially when you get later in the year.
This is a wild oversimplification, but I feel like sometimes hockey theorists can be broken into two categories. And when I say theorists, I mean fans, coaches, whatever, anybody who pays attention.
There's the abolish the draft group.
And then exactly. And then there's dummies. No, but I feel like there are people who pay more attention to the ingredients and people who pay more attention to the recipe. And I personally just happen to subscribe to the idea that the recipe is more important. I'm not saying I'm right or the other's wrong. That's just where I focus on. And I've said it before, I think Arvidsson is an excellent playmaker. Not to take anything away from his ability as a shooter, which is undeniable. Mm-hmm. But sometimes a player can get put on a line or into a position where the focus, at least externally, is on how they fulfill that role. And if you put Victor Arvidsson on a line with Philip Deneau and Trevor Moore, well, okay, he's the shooter, even though I think he's an adept playmaker, and we saw it in that Washington game, right? Two of those goals are just passes from Victor Arvidsson. The reason I bring all that up is to say, on that third line, when Arthur Kaliev is undeniably a shooter, also an adept passer, but at this stage in his career, known for that shot, and Victor Arvidsson can shoot, willing to shoot, but also can make passes, can find guys. I am very excited. Not, again, we don't know if he's going to play on that line, but if he does, I am very excited to see if he can somehow unlock more of Kaliev's shooting.
He almost got typecast, right, when he was on that line of being just a shooter. Mm-hmm. But as you've pointed out correctly several times, like, he's a lot more than that. And it was almost the Kings got a player that wasn't the player that maybe was advertised as coming here, but he was better. Like mm-hmm. the things that he brought were actually better than that flashy off the rush breakaway highlight reel type guy. Like the stuff he does in the zone with the puck on his stick for himself and for his teammates, so effective. So I think it's a really great thought. Like can he bring some of the things that maybe have been holding that line back since Iafallo went out? Different, very different players, right? Him and Iafallo. But Arvidsson has a lot to offer, and maybe he's the kind of guy who can do some of that work along the boards, make some of those plays in tight spaces that free up a guy like Kaliev to use that shot, you know, from the areas that he wants to be shooting from.
And one of the things I've found fascinating about Byfield's game so far is he is, I mean, listen, what I'm about to say is not new information. He's so big and so fast, mm-hmm. and he moves so elegantly for a person that big. You know, even last game, he wasn't on the score sheet, but there were two or three shifts at least where he picked up the puck, corralled the puck in the defensive zone,
yep.
moved through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, and left two or three people in his dust. And because he's so big and so good at moving the puck side to side, right, a simple stick handle carries the puck 5 feet away from the stick of a defender, right? And a little half step from Quinton Byfield makes it, you know, another 6 feet, 7 feet away, you know, and the... what would be potentially a dangerous lane to take for a smaller player becomes, you know, not a problem at all. And three or four strides and he's through the neutral zone and yeah. he's into the attacking zone. He creates so much space, I guess is my point, that, mm-hmm. that I'm curious to see what a smaller player who is so deft along the boards and moving through space like Victor Arvidsson, creating even more space for him. I'm just getting very excited about the possibility.
It's a very exciting possibility, right? Yeah. Like we said, we don't know if they're even going to play together. Right. We'll know after this warm-up session concludes.
Mm-hmm.
But on paper, it seems to point that way. And it seems to be a pretty exciting thought to see how the three of those guys kind of mesh together.
Now, I confess I have not been paying close attention to the rest of the league. So I'm aware of a lot of East Coast teams and who's sort of off to disappointing starts. Obviously, we're all having a good chuckle at the plight of the Vancouver Canucks. But not too hard to chuckle because they could come out of nowhere. But Winnipeg is a team that I confess I know almost next to nothing about other than that Hellebuyck is in net.
That's probably going to happen, right? Like yeah. he plays every game, and the Jets haven't played since Monday, so all signs would point there. Nikolaj Ehlers is out, lower body injury, will not play tonight. Head coach Rick Bowness not traveling with the team, some additional rest coming off of COVID. So some housekeeping notes I know about the Winnipeg Jets. What we saw last year when these two teams met were that the game was going to be decided by a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know which way it was going to go, didn't know who was going to win, but it was probably going to be a 3-2 game decided by one goal. The game here last year was a 3-2 Kings loss. First game of the year was a 3-2 Kings loss in overtime, and I believe the last game of the year was a 3-2 Kings win in Winnipeg. So it's probably going to be a tightly contested game. I think that's how Winnipeg plays. I think they're going to give you an honest effort and... it's going to be a tight game, and that's kind of where the Kings thrived last year. So if we can see some of those characteristics from Tampa Bay carry over, you kind of like how they might settle into a game like tonight.
Well, the crowd was fantastic on Tuesday against Tampa. I imagine, or at least I hope, the crowd will be similar tonight against Winnipeg. Zach Dooley, thanks as always for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
That was Zach Dooley. That was duly noted. And, of course, a ton of that conversation is now completely useless because Quinton Byfield apparently not in warm-ups tonight. Victor Arvidsson back on a line with Deneau and more, at least in warm-ups. We are going to take another break. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
If you want the best care for kids in California, come to Children's Hospital Los Angeles. CHLA is the highest-ranked children's hospital in California and a top hospital in the nation on the prestigious U.S. News & World Report Honor Roll of the Best Children's Hospitals. CHLA provides outstanding patient-centered care, trains the physicians, nurses, and caregivers of tomorrow, and conducts life-saving research to help bring more cures to more kids. For the best care for kids in California, visit chla.org.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly. We'll be right back.
Get the official NHL app to watch, read, and listen to all the deeks.
All I can say is absolutely wow.
All the sauce, all the saves.
Stop from Vasilevsky!
All the hits, all the snipes, all the sellies.
He scores! Unbelievable!
All the hockey. If it's hockey, it's here. Listen to every NHL game for free now with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Download the official NHL app now.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota. Let's go places.
Choose your games, choose your experience, and save big. The most flexible LA Kings ticket package is now available. Pick up to 10 vouchers and use them on your schedule. Visit lakings.com/flex for more information. And we'll see you at the game. Go Kings!
We return to LA Kings Game Night, a pregame look at the Kings on your LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here inside the Nick Mixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA. Once again, where the Winnipeg Jets are in town to take on your LA Kings here at Crypto.com Arena. As I said at the end of the previous segment, according to warmups, it looks like Quentin Byfield will not be in the lineup tonight. Victor Arvidsson returns to the lineup. And we talked to Todd McClellan this morning about the Winnipeg Jets, tonight's opponent, and what exactly makes them such a difficult opponent.
Like all the teams, they played few games this year. They have a new coaching staff. The coach has been sick, so they're trying to get their new systems and everything structured into place. But they played very hard. St. Louis, Rangers, in Colorado, those are their wins. So they're beating some very good teams. Goaltending's outstanding. They seem to have the ability to grind really well below the tops of the circles. In the ozone to keep a lot of plays alive, you know. So when you hear those characteristics, it's making them a pretty good team. So we'll have our hands full.
Was Todd McClellan, and of course, Kings will have their hands full tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Mentioned it at the top of the show. Tonight is in fact Grateful Dead ticket pack night, and Todd McClellan answers a lot of questions asked of him. He was asked how familiar he was with the band, the Grateful Dead.
I was, I'm well aware of them. I know the genre and their music a little bit. Was it my personal selection? No, but I appreciate their talents and what they do.
That was Don McClellan appreciating the talents of the Grateful Dead and what it is they do. Tonight is Grateful Dead ticket pack night at Crypto.com Arena, so you may hear some Scarlet Begonias playing through your speakers. That is going to do it for us here at LA Kings Game Night. A huge thanks to our inner producer Jake Werner and Jeff Cabot at the iHeart Studio in Burbank. We'll be back here Saturday afternoon and every home game after that, taking your questions, calls, and comments. But for now, we'll take one final break. When we return, Hall of Famer Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans have the call as your LA Kings face off against the Winnipeg Jets. This has been LA Kings Game Night. I have been and will continue to be Jesse Cohen. Thanks for listening, Kings fans.
The draw, shot, score!
You've been listening to Kings Game Night with a complete look at the Kings' upcoming game. Be sure to join us immediately after the game for Kings Talk. Call in again with your questions and comments at 877-KINGS-20. And now, stay tuned for LA Kings Hockey, coming up right here on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.